There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.
Welcome to the Mudhorn Clancast on the Fangirl Zone.
I'm Sith Lord Steve.
And I'm Beskar Dave.
And I'm Sean Fangirl S. And today we're talking the Acolyte titled Teach Corrupt. Episode 6 of Season 1. Let's hope it's just Season 1 and we get more. Written by Leslie Headland, Jocelyn Bio, and George Lucas himself. And directed by Hanel M. Culpepper.
Ready for our in-depth episode recap?
Ready, okay, ready. Hold on. Let me strap in.
Yeah,
all right, let's do this.
On a distant island, unsettling questions about identity and destiny arise.
Okay, I think you gave away too much.
Yeah.
All right, initial reactions. You want to go first, Sean?
Okay, well, there was a lot of side-eyeing happening in this episode. I did message the guys, and I'm like, okay, there's a lot of this bitch look flying around. So that had me cracking up. There was a lot of head scratching for me, too. And there was me going, what? And I wasn't the only one. My husband was actually doing that, too. So I'm not saying that I loved it. Didn't dislike it. I did like the episode, but there was still, like, I don't know, just so many questions about it. Yes, I know Sean has questions, but it's just, I'm not sure, honestly, how I feel. It made me kind of, okay, like in the recap, a little unsettled because I wasn't sure how I feel.
Well, try watching it without that helmet on.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that would have cleared it up.
What do you got, Steve?
I enjoyed it. It was a good episode. Like Sean, there was still some head-scratching moments in the episode, like Maeve resetting Pip and Basil actually getting away from Maeve. That was a bit of a surprise. I wondered, you know, after stepping on her foot, running away, she didn't force him right back to her and take him out.
Yeah, odd. I thought it was good, better. Still short.
Yeah.
Still short. I don't know why they can't fill these out, but maybe it's good that they don't, because
yeah.
There are the head scratches, and like, what if they start explaining the head scratches? Be like, oh, come on, moving along, let's go.
Yeah.
So, sorry, that was my bass drum. So, Sean, you want to kick us off?
All right. Well, we open with Osha awakening in a fairly well-stocked cave with provisions, a bed, fresh water, and more, but barefoot. Why does everybody steal everybody's shoes? I'm just saying, it's kind of weird, but whatever. Her wounds have been treated, and there's food cooking nearby. She tiptoes through, hearing the chittering of animals nearby. Following it, she finds a bag with clothes and a knife inside. Oh, look, it's May's stuff. Osha dresses, because I guess you have to wear your sister's clothes? I don't know. And steps out with a knife in hand on a rocky beach where episode one ended. She's on an island in the middle of the ocean, and the subtitle states it's an unknown planet. My husband and I were like, that looks a lot like the planet Luke ended up on.
For sure. Yeah.
It's like, well, this is supposed to be way before. And what was with the weird little elephant bird thing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, when she's walking, this one made me giggle, though, because she walks past one of those little elephant birds, and it, like, turns its head to them, like, okay, you don't see me, I don't see you. I'm like, all it needed was this little wing to come up and, like, don't look at me. I don't know why, but it had giggling a bit. But Osha makes her way down the rocky shore, seeing a nearby landing pad, and, oh, who do we see walking along the said rocky beach? Come here.
Muscle Beach.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they're going with the, like, oh, I'm so dirty. You've been sleeping forever, and I couldn't clean up before you got here.
How do you clean up in salt water?
Yeah.
Beach, yeah. You know?
This gets salty.
And yeah. Again, if he's this big, powerful dude, he doesn't sense her there.
Well, I guess he does, though.
I said that throughout this whole episode, which we'll get to eventually.
So back on Kapar, Saul takes off in the Jedi shuttle and calls Coruscant with an emergency transmission. However, the signal isn't going through clearly, and he struggles to get the message across to Bernster Rall. Meanwhile, May, posing as her sister Osha, walks through the Jedi shuttle, remembering when Master Indara tested her as a child on whether or not she was Force-sensitive. Basil, the Tynan tracker with a great nose, cautiously watches her and sniffs the air. She tries to sneak in to kill him, but Saul brushes past her to reset the transceiver.
I love how that moment threw her off.
Yes. He gives her...
She's just,
like, what?
Say, he's just like, oh, May, I gotta go reset it. And she's like, oh.
Yeah. He gives her permission to fly the ship. Down below, Saul takes a long moment to himself, slapping his hand against the console. He's alone. His entire team, his Padawan, his friends, all killed by Khmer. He finishes resetting the console and heads back up to the cockpit. Basil finally sneaks out and fixes Osha's droid Pip.
Okay, that was hilarious, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he reads the plug chart on the wall. Oh, here.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, okay, nope. Okay, this works. But, like, seriously, I was not expecting May to be like, oh, okay, I'm flying the ship, and actually do it. So, I mean, I know she's trying to pretend she's Osha and blah, 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 but, like, she just seemed to do it without question. Like, oh, okay, let's go up here and dock. And I was expecting something else to happen. I don't know about
right.
You.
Right, yeah.
Life action, maybe. So, back on the unknown planet. Khmer undresses to bathe as Osha sneaks closer with her own knife. However, spots his lightsaber and carefully picks it up. Khmer knows she's there. He asks Osha how it feels to hold a lightsaber again in the hand of an ex-Jedi since she didn't keep her own saber when she left the Order. That would have been the first thing I did. I'm keeping this. He gives her tips on her stance and steps back out of the water to put his clothes back on. And they're like, I'm surprised Osha was unfazed.
Yeah.
Well, she kept dropping her eyes, and I kept thinking, no, eyes up.
Yeah.
He says her anger betrays her thoughts of vengeance. Wow, we've never heard that before. She demands to know if he killed Saul or May. Khmer thinks it's interesting that she asked about her old Jedi master before her twin sister. Well, they didn't exactly get along. He says it's an interesting relationship between master and pupil before walking off with his clothes on. Back was Saul and May. Saul returns to the cockpit and hugs May. He wants to make things right and face the High Council to tell them everything. Good grief, get to that, will you? Suddenly, the ship shuts down. Saul, again thinking this is Osha, who is a mechanic, asks May, could she go check to see what's wrong? Follows and heads out.
That was funny, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, because she was just like, sure. Yes. It was okay. Like, yeah, of course I can check that out. Okay, like I said, the side eye is happening here and there with Osha and Khmer at one point when he just walks past and she's kind of side eyes like, I got a lightsaber. The hell are you just like, what? What just happened? And then May, when Saul was just so nonchalant about everything, although, hello, why at this point has Saul not like sensed everything with her? And yes, I agree with you though, Dave, too, with the, oh God, can you get to the point like, what is it you're going to tell everyone?
Yeah.
Like, this teasing BS is making me insane. But we have some fun side-eye coming up here, too. Because we jump to Coruscant, where Vernestra is speaking with the senator, who is warning her that the other senators want external review of the Jedi Order. Ooh, so we got a little spiciness happening already. Vernestra sees a Jedi named Mog walk in, and she dismisses the call. And I don't know about you two, but as soon as he walked in, it was like, I guess, the cape. It just reminded me very much of, crap, the one...
Billy Dee Williams character.
No, I was actually thinking the First Order guy. Oh, he had that white cape.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they all just go to the same tailor? But whatever. So Mog tells of Sol's broken up message. He was at least able to confirm that his team had been wiped out. And I would think that Vernestra would be a little bit more torn up about that. But she's like, go get a rescue team. We're going to Kafar. Well, how did you know he was at Kafar? Because I sent him there. Okay. We go back to Khmer and Osha instead of, you know, staying with this for a minute. And Osha asked Khmer if he was a Jedi. And he said, yes, a very long time ago. Okay. that's not giving me a lot of information, because it's not like you're looking like you're 150 years old, okay?
Right, yeah.
So that had me kind of like going on, but she says that Tho will come for her with his power, and Kamira's like, it's your power. Okay, because you don't want to give her straight answers, and you want to mess with her, but, oh, this is your power in the Force, not Tho's, and offers her a meal. It's like, what? Can you just give me a straight answer?
Nope.
If you want to eat, or you can swim to the nearby ship on the docking platform, but it'll take you a while because the tide's coming in. And I'm like, just force jump. Does nobody remember this?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
I would have checked to see if that little elephant seabird was still walking around before I ate that meal.
It just reminds me of the pog. Like, yeah. Is that what's in the stew? Those little weird, I feel bad for these little things. But instead, she follows Kamira, and they're going to go eat. Again, I'd be worried. What did you put in the food? I don't trust anything.
Yep.
Back with May, she meets a pretty rude greeting from Basil and Pip, and I was cracking up with this, because she's like, I have no idea what you're saying, looking at him. But Basil stomps on her foot and hurries off, and like you said, Steve, kind of surprised she didn't just like pull him back, but maybe that would have alerted Saul. So, right. And it made me really sad that she ends up factory resetting Pip, and his little eyes go to red. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Why does the Star Wars universe just make me so sad with so many of these droids?
Yep. Osha follows Kamira, asking about her strength in the Force. Kamira explains Jedi teach there is only one way to access the Force. Don't exercise it their way, it will fade. However, he said it can be also be tapped into with emotion. Anger, fear, loss, and desire. Osha counters, that's the path to the dark side. He says it's semantic. She snaps back that he killed her friend. Kamira counters that Yord didn't hesitate to try to turn her in, while Jeki wouldn't have gotten close to her because of the Jedi Code. He says she's not as easily corrupted as her sister, and leaves the cave. Kamira follows her out, telling her to kill him with his own lightsaber. She says, Jedi don't attack the unarmed. He asks why she keeps calling herself a Jedi when the Jedi don't want you. He says the anger and pain she's feeling is why they threw her away.
Now, I thought it was established that she chose to leave because she couldn't get past the anger of May.
Right. Yes.
Right. Well, he's corrupting her.
Okay. He's like twisting it. Got it.
Yes, he is. Trying to turn her to the dark side.
She snapped back, igniting the saber and screaming that she failed. He says he understands because he lost everything, too. When you lose everything, you're finally free. On Coruscant, Venestra is ready to join Mog and a team on the mission. He's nervous because Venestra gets sick in hyperspace. You don't want that everywhere.
No.
She says it's unsettling, which is a callback to her novel appearance where Venestra was forced visions while traveling through hyperspace. Venestra walks out to lead her team.
Okay, and that's when we had some great side eye by Mog there, too.
Yeah.
When he looks like, again, that's a, this bitch look. Like, okay, really? Lady. Oh, it's unsettling. Like, if it was like you and your friend be mocking them, like, ooh, it's unsettling, I don't get sick. You're like, you know what?
Call it back to him, I can hear you.
Yeah.
So, back with Saul, he calls her in, him as Basil sneaks through the vents, solves beating himself up for not sensing Kamira on Olega, which is also a version of Margarine, I think. Saul is happy she found Pip. May says she, pretending to be Osha, had a lot to lose of herself to become a Jedi, and she demands to know what happened on Bren Dock when she was young. Yeah, well, as do we all. Yeah.
Right? Quit teasing that part. The ship finally comes back online, and May goes to the cockpit. Suddenly, Saul stuns her and says, oh, May, with Basil just behind him. Which I thought was funny that it took this on. I also thought it was funny when we have Basil through, like, the little under corridor with a light. Like, really? Right. Nobody's going to see that? But Saul suddenly gets a message that the rescue team is on its way, and he shuts off the transmission. When they're like, don't turn off your transponder. Oh, yeah.
Facepalm.
Right? With that, he jumps to hyperspace right before Venestra's crew arrives. Thank God there's not light. You have to wait. That would have been awkward driving past each other. Down on Kaffar's surface, Mog explains to Venestra that the Umbramoth of the Force could have killed all the Jedi because they suddenly emerged. Yeah, they could have. But she leads the group towards boards to investigate. On the unknown planet, Kamira works to repair his helmet, which is still, I don't know what this is supposed to be. Somebody said it's supposed to be like call back to something else, but is this supposed to be like the earliest of the prequels? Like, I don't know what it's supposed to be.
Hard to look out of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made out of Cortis.
Thank you. I couldn't remember what he called it. He's like, handy. It's like, okay. But Osha asked if he gave May the same pitch about Jedis and everything. And he said he messed up with May, thinking she wanted the same thing. He wants the power of two, which is basically what the family wanted, I believe, with the twins. But that would have made me stop, too. Like, what's going on? She does see the scar on his back, deducing that somebody attacked him when she asked who, and he just said, who do you think? She's assuming it was his Jedi master. Again, assumptions are what's going to get everybody in trouble here.
Yes.
Are we supposing it was Venestra at all?
Ooh, that would be interesting that he was her pupil.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least that Venestra was his master at one time.
Yep.
Now, he says the helmet blocks his senses, just like how they trained his Jedi youngling. So it's just him and the Force and what you bring with you. He says she should try it on and trust herself. She considers the helmet but doesn't try it. On Kofar, Venestra and her team find Jake Yord and the fallen Jedi from the last episode. Mog notes Osha and May are gone, walks through the events. Mog accuses Saul, and Venestra is quick to chastise him for that.
Did you really think she was quick on that draw? Because I felt like she was trying to lead him to that conclusion.
Right. Could be. Yeah. She mutters this is something to tip the scales and commands to prepare the bodies to go back to the ship.
Thank God. I thought they were going to leave them all.
Yeah. May awakens and she's bound to the medical bed. Saul looks on saying he has no intention of harming her. Wants her to help him find her master in Osha. However, there's something different about Saul as he speaks to May. Almost more sinister, he says she will listen to him. The episode ends with Osha looking over Kamir's helmet, and she finally picks it up and puts it on.
I was like, ooh, it smells like his breath and sweat.
Yeah.
I've mentioned my friend Tom at Wonderland Comics. He had seen the episode before me, and he goes, most predictable ending ever. Like, okay, I'll find out. Oh, yeah, of course she puts one of the kicker on the Jedi Order. This lady has no, sense.
Well, thank you. I was just thinking that. But it's like, you couldn't see anything, so what the heck? Like a sliver.
So, ratings, 5 out of 5. Shauna, go ahead. What do you got?
5 out of 5, huh? I mean, I know that's what we always do, but I don't know. Because it irritated me a little too much, I'm going to say 3.5. Just because there was still, it's like, okay, some of it's drawn out, some of it was too, like, really? And I was just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I like, overall, like I said, I wasn't disappointed. It was just some of those moments that, like, I feel like Venestra was trying to walk team to be like, oh no, Saul's betraying us because they don't want anybody to know what's happening.
Right.
That we know somebody is, well, informing, basically. So there's just a lot more questions than answers and irritation. So still like the few giggles I had. So that's what I got.
Okay. Any giggles from Steve?
No, I gave it 4 out of 5 reset pip.
Last week or the week before, I gave it 2 out of 5. This week, 3 out of 5 yummy elephant seabirds. I think they're yummy. Still looking for that last one. Right. Yeah, 3 out of 5.
Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com.
Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast with good ratings and reviews to help other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Acolyte podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and I hope you're enjoying our podcast, and don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcast.
We have everything up at www.fangirlzone.com. You can go to our contacts page. You can message all of us directly, however you want to do it. It's all under our pictures. because we look so adorable on our website now. But we want to know all of the things that you're thinking and what we missed, because we know some people dissect things even more than we do. Or you can just email it at contactus@fangirlzone.com. So for this message of the Mudhorn Clancast,
I'm Sith Lord Steve. You're the one with the weapon.
And this is Beskar Dave. This show doesn't start. It doesn't finish strong. I'm going to go back to my own factory settings.
This is Sean Fangirl S, and until next time.